Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos, almost again, Erev Pesach. I hope everyone is managing well with their preparation. And it's very special that we are taking the time and that you are taking the time to spiritually prepare in addition to physically preparing for Chag HaPesach. This is our final shiur before Yom Tov. Next Thursday night, there is no Pirkei Avos shiur, the night of Bdikas Chametz. The timing would just not work. Azor Hashem, we shall be well. We will resume the Thursday after Chag. So we have two dedications tonight. As usual, I give the information in the order that I received it. The first one is Zrizus Makdimun the Mitzvos. And I announced 3 weeks ago that is anybody interested in sponsoring? This shiur runs on sponsors. You know, Lahavdil of Alfei of Dallas. America runs on Duncan. Excuse me, Hashem. This shiur runs on sponsors. The generosity of all the women who participate. And it's extremely mechazik. So Renee Singer quickly WhatsApped me immediately after shiur, and she said, "My mother-in-law, quote, who was a big tzaddikas, was nifteres on Zos Chanukah, and therefore this shiur is dedicated to Lui Nishmas Chaya Rivka Bas Yaakov Elimelech Alah HaShalom." That was 3 weeks ago, and Renee even sent the sponsorship right away. It was Choose Rizos for the mitzvah of helping bring Marbitz Torah. So yesterday when I reached out and I said, "Would you like me to say anything about your mother-in-law?" The comment that she made is so telling. She said, "No, there's no need to say anything further. She was a very modest woman." So the two things we know is that she was, quote, a big tzaddikas and B, a very modest woman, which reminded me very much of Avram and Sarah, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, where Sarah, your wife, who was a very big tzaddikas, hinei ba'ohel, tzanua, he says Rashi. So may the neshama of Chaya Rivka, Bas Yaakov Elimelech, merit an aliyah and the tzchus of the Torah that we will share this evening. The other dedication is very different than anything that we have had until now, and it's really beautiful as well. From Esti Klein, "My son Eli was in the room when you mentioned the date that you needed a sponsorship for. March 18th is his birthday, and he felt it would be appropriate that I sponsor a shiur in honor of his birthday. Parentheses, I guess he agrees with you. A shiur is more meaningful than a kiddush. Although it's really his English birthday, I agreed that we should sponsor because Eli was tillein, the first aliyah from his bar mitzvah parsha, Parshas Vayikra, in the school of Minyan. Eli is 14 now, happy birthday, and because of the COVID pandemic, the bar mitzvah was canceled. He never complained," said Esti, "both at the time it happened or since. And while the pandemic still continues, we would like to take this moment to acknowledge his accomplishments, both with his laning and his overall positive attitude." And then this last night, "Sorry for the last minute change. And my son told me the Yeshiva Minyan inadvertently double booked the laning for this morning. Eli felt, since he laid Mincha last Shabbos and the other boy didn't, he was mevater and he let the other boy lane this morning. Eli wanted to know if he did the right thing. What do you think?" she wrote to me. "Obviously, we are so proud, and therefore we would like to modify the dedication in honor of our son to reflect our karas hatov to the Ribono Shel Olam for allowing us to have a son like Eli." Aryeh and Esti Klein. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says in the Sefer Orchos Yashar, "Le'olam yoter tov levater milinatzeach." Eli said, "Did I do the right thing in giving up the laning?" Chaim Kanievsky writes in the Al-Sha'ar of Vatranus, "Le'olam, le'olam. Yoter tov milevater milinatzeach. It's always better to give in and let it go than to win." So two beautiful dedications. With that, let us continue. We thank our sponsors very much. Let us continue with our learning. So we are still in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav. Shammai Omer, Aseh Torascha Kiva. Shammai says, make your Torah learning permanent. Amar Ma'at, Va'aseh Harbeh, speak a little and do a lot. Ve'hevi Mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. And you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. Now we began to speak about this last week. We began in the Sefer Introduction to the Talmud. But we were talking a little bit about Shammai's life, intertwined with his teaching to be mekabel as kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. And we spoke about the interaction between Hillel and Shammai, and then Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and that even if we are different than our fellow Jews, we can and we should have shalom between us. So you eat kidneys, I don't. I don't mean anyone specific. I'm using it as an example. One person eats gebrachs and the other person doesn't. We spoke about the importance of ben adam l'chavero as an example of which the most beautiful ben adam l'chavero was between Hillel and Shammai. So as a springboard for our shir, I am going back to the Sefer Introduction to the Talmud because there is parts of Shammai's lives and teachings we did not learn yet, which will lead us to new lessons this evening in addition to what we learned last week. Okay, so here we go. Now, if you remember, we know less about Shammai than we know about Hillel's life. Hillel's life was very detailed, and we have a lot of information left to us about Hillel's life, and we know less about Shammai, though he was a contemporary of Hillel, of course, and they were last of the Zugos, the last of the pairs who led in Eretz Yisrael. They were most notable not only for their Torah teachings, but for the Shalom L'shem Shamayim between them. Here we go. One of Shammai's colleagues, so in other words, this Sefer gives us a compilation from all different places in Torah Sheba'al Peh of the Tana'im and the Amoraim. So whatever we know about Shammai is compiled here. One of Shammai's, we'll continue with his biography. One of Shammai's colleagues was Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garon. Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garon. He was a great sage, and he closeted himself in the upper story of his home, wow, to resolve challenging verses found in the book of Yechezkel. The students of Shammai and Hillel, and it would seem Shammai and Hillel themselves, would visit him in his home where he closeted himself away, and they enacted various laws. So he was this tremendous Talmud Chacham, if you will, who delved into hidden secret parts of Torah, Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garon, and both the students of Hillel and Shammai, as well as Hillel and Shammai, would visit him, and they enacted various laws. Another colleague of Shammai was the famous Yonasan ben Uziel. For those who learn Parsha class with me from time to time, we quote Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, who is buried in, who remembers, Amuka. Amuka is very famous, is going to the place where if you need a shidduch, or if you're davening for someone who needs a shidduch, it's in the north of Israel. A colleague of Shammai was Yonasan ben Uziel. Yonasan ben Uziel was the greatest student of Hillel, and the author of Targum Yonasan, which is a very flowery, midrashic, poetic interpretation, if you will, on Tanakh. We learn it on Chumash very often. The Talmud records a dispute that Shammai had with Yonasan, a dispute in which Shammai conceded. So again, brief vignettes about his life called from different sources in Torah Sheba'al Peh. What about Shammai's personality? So Hillel was much more let it go, let it slide, give in. The Gemara says in Eruvin 13b, Nochlin va'aluvin. Hillel was just, they were mevater. It was the amida of letting it go. Shammai, however, possessed a very strong personality, a stern personality, and he did not tolerate any deviation from the pursuit of absolute truth. So, and it reminds me, Hillel, you would say, to my mind, is more like Aaron HaKohen, and Shammai, to my mind, is more like Moshe Rabbeinu. No less than three potential converts to Judaism came to Shammai, and they were immediately rejected by him because they wanted to convert on some absurd condition. The most famous one, of course, is a Masechah Shabbos 31, Lamed Aleph, I believe Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Aleph. Convert me on the condition that I stand on one foot, teach me the whole Torah. Shammai pushed him away with the building tool, and Hillel told him, what is hateful for your friend, what is hateful to you, don't do unto your friend. Shammai pushed away no less than three potential converts because the condition that they proposed was absolutely absurd. Hillel, however, recognized the underlying sincerity, and he accepted them, and eventually they became faithful Jews. So the Gemara states in Masechah Shabbos, Lamed through Lamed Aleph, one should always strive to be humble and gentle like Hillel, I guess like Esti and Ari Klein's son, Eli. One should always strive to be humble and gentle like Hillel, and not stern and unyielding like Shammai. However, what does that mean? Shammai was one of the greats. He was one of our leaders. He's the one who, through Torah, continued. He was the last of the half of the Zug with Hillel. So what does this mean, and how do we understand this? Is this a criticism of Shammai? No, this should not be taken as a condemnation of Shammai's actions, God forbid. And the Sefer proposes a very beautiful way of understanding Shammai's approach to Torah, the Halacha, and to people. Some of our greatest rabbis have explained that just as Hillel and Shammai and their students, right, because it continued in Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, we learned last week that Hillel and Shammai themselves have almost no disagreements because they got along so beautifully that even if they did disagree, it didn't turn into machlokas. It's their students who continued with machlokas l'shem Shamayim. But some of our greatest rabbis have explained, just as Hillel and Shammai and their students had a fundamental approach to deciding halacha, which was different than each other, so too they disagreed as to the proper way to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. So they had a certain approach to halacha. Shammai's approach differed than Hillel's approach, and they also had a fundamental difference in their approach to serving God. Hillel felt one should always be humble. What does that have to do with his approach to other people? Even at the expense of the honor due to him as a Torah scholar. We have a certain obligation to honor Torah scholars. Hillel was so humble, he was able to be mevater. He felt it was appropriate to be mevater on the kavod to him as a Talmud Chacham. Whereas Shammai maintained, l'shem Shammayim, then in order to maintain and uphold and protect the honor of Torah, it wasn't for personal honor, but as a walking Sefer Torah, as a living Sefer Torah, a Talmud Chacham must be honored by the populace, by the people, and Shammai felt to maintain and protect and uphold the honor of Torah, one must be uncompromising and stern when it comes to other people. Thus, Shammai chose to act this way. It was deliberate behavior to ensure kavod de Torah, since according to his understanding, it was his duty and obligation. However, the Gemara decides in favor of Hillel's approach, and the parenthesis notes that this is based on a teaching of Rav Yisrael Salanter. So it's not that Shammai was cruel, chas v'sham. How could he be cruel? He's the one who says in our Mishnah, Hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sefer panim yafos. However, when it comes to the honor of Torah, and a Talmud Chacham represents Torah, you're not allowed to be mevater on that kavod. So therefore, he was strong for the sake of kavod the Torah, not for the sake of kavod Shammai. Being strong for the sake of kavod Torah is really giving kavod to the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, it was a purposeful approach, a deliberate approach, for the sake of God. Not that he was mean, not that he was cruel. Hillel had his approach, and he felt you couldn't be mevater, and Shammai had his approach. So it's a beautiful way of helping us understand why Shammai acted in the way that he did. In his personal life, he was very stringent when it came to observing the law. So we have people who are more machmir, we have people who are their meiko, you should follow your own rav. Shammai was very stringent when it came to observing the law. For example, since one may not wash his hands on Yom Kippur, Shammai refused to wash his hands to feed his child on Yom Kippur. He had someone else feed the child until his fellow sages forced him to do so. So he was very stringent when it came to the practice of halacha. Now, we can't say, I don't agree with that. We're no one to say anything about Shammai. We're stating the facts of his life and his approach to Avod Hashem. So no one should say or email me or think to yourself, how could he not wash his hands to feed his child? We're talking about Shammai. And he's one of the links in the chain that brings us Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was a contemporary of Hillel. And that's his approach, the Torah. Despite Shammai's serious demeanor and sharp personality, he was warm and friendly to all, as evidenced by his famous teaching. And now the Sefer quotes the Mishnah where we are up to. Perek Av, Mishnah Tesvav. Shammai says, Asei Torascha Keva, make your Torah study permanent, your primary occupation. And Mor Ma'at, speak a little. Va'asei Harbe, do a lot. And finally, Hevi Mekabal as Kol Ha'adam, B'Sefer Panim Yafos. Shammai had a beautiful custom with which he honored the Shabbos. Okay? The Gemara relates in Maseches Beitza. Shammai the elder, Shammai HaZaken, ate in honor of Shabbos every day. What does that mean, you eat in honor of Shabbos every day? I eat in honor of Monday on Monday, and I eat in honor of Tuesday on Tuesday. And I eat so I should have fuel to fuel my body. How do you eat in honor of Shabbos throughout the days of the week? If he came across a fine animal during the week, so on our day you wouldn't say that, you would say if he came across a beautiful roast that happened to be fresh caught in Gourmet Gladden, you see it's Tuesday, he would say this should be set aside for Shabbos. If he came across a nicer animal later in the week, he would designate the nicer piece of meat for Shabbos, and he would eat the first one during the week. In this way, all of Shammai's meals were in reality. Shabbos was always on his mind, and whatever he ate that day, what was more beautiful, he set it aside for Shabbos. But since he was always finding more beautiful things, he would eat the previous one. However, everything was designated for Shabbos till he found something nicer, and so the whole week was an aura of really preparing for Shabbos every day of the week. What about the time period in which he lived? Shammai lived in a very dangerous and perilous time period, filled with political upheaval. Sounds like us. So we shouldn't think that we're the first Jews who ever lived in difficult times politically. He lived in a time filled with political upheaval, war between Rome. Rome, of course, was the governing body. Remember, we learned last week, he lived about 100 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. Rome was the governing body over Judea during this time. It was a time period filled with political upheaval, war between Rome and Parthia. Parthia. I am not a historian. I am quoting from this book. Civil war. So in addition to external war, civil war, assassinations, and mass murders. This is the time period in which he lived. Eventually, the Roman Senate appointed Herod, the famous Herod, who built the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, as we know it, who built the Kosel HaMa'aravi, as we know it, who built so many, I believe, Caesarea as well, if I'm not mistaken, so many structures in Eretz Yisrael as tribute to himself and to his power and to Rome. Eventually, the Roman Senate appointed Herod, an Edomite slave, to rule over the land of the Jews. Herod was a cruel despot. He was hated by the populace. And soon after he assumed power, he had many of his opponents and even many of those who assisted him murdered. As we know, we look at communist Russia, very often those who take absolute power for themselves don't only kill their enemies, but they become so paranoid that they come to kill their colleagues as well. So Shammai did not live in an easy time. And when we look at our world today, we do not live in an easy time. So we should know that we're not the first ones. We don't have the monopoly on the problems of the world. And this is a recurring theme throughout different history, through the millennia. The Jews live in very turbulent times. And remember, we're talking about it in Eretz Yisrael, and it was a very turbulent time. I'm going to repeat it. A time filled with political upheaval, war between Rome and Parthia, civil war, assassinations, and mass murders. And when Herod was appointed, the populace hated him. He was a cruel and wicked ruler who committed many murders, not only of his opponents, but also of his colleagues and his assistants. Oh, my mother-in-law just joined. Hi, Ima, welcome. Don't be sorry, I realized you weren't here, so that's why I didn't welcome you. Brucha haba'a. Thank you for joining. Although Shammai had bravely stood up to Herod in the past, I want you to listen, because what we're doing now is finishing up the little bit that we know about Shammai's life, and we're going to use tonight's final vignettes about his life as the springboard into the second half, which is the hashkafic part of the shir. Although Shammai bravely stood up to Herod in the past, remarkably, Herod, the cruel king, who had no problem killing people, did not harm him or Hillel. Though he hated the Jewish sages, Herod, and he had many of them killed, Herod realized that Hillel and Shammai were beloved and venerated by the masses, and he didn't touch them. Now, generally, a despot does not care if the person is venerated by the masses. And it's very interesting that Herod did not kill or touch or harm or exile or jail Hillel or Shammai. He also appreciated Shammai's past honesty and bravery, Herod, the tyrant. Thus, when Herod forced the nation to take a pledge of allegiance to him, he exempted Hillel and Shammai, as well as Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, their students. Shammai, for his part, took Hillel's lead in tolerating Herod as the ruler favored by Rome. He refrained from criticizing Herod in public. He instead concentrated on teaching Torah and maintaining his yeshiva. So it's very interesting that Herod, who is a despotic and tyrannical ruler, did not harm in any way Shammai or Hillel. And Shammai and Hillel were exempt from pledging allegiance to him, and he saved them. The Talmud does not tell us when Shammai passed away, but it indicates that he outlived Hillel. Shammai, along with his wife and a number of his students, are buried in Meron, in the north of Israel. I don't think I knew that. I don't think I was there. When we did a trip up north in summer of 2019, we took a two-week trip. Family, very, very, very special, Baruch Hashem. A rare treat for us, very. So we did a day of Kfarim in the north, and I do not recall that. We went to Yonasan Ben Uziel, who is one of his most famous Talmidim, but I don't recall being at Shammai's cave. I did not know that he was, well, I didn't know anything that I'm teaching you actually before this year. The Talmud does not tell us when he passed away. It indicates that he outlived Hillel, and he and his wife, as long as many of his Talmidim, are buried in Meron in the north of Israel. So last week, based on the life vignettes that we shared about Shammai, we learned about mitzvos ben Adam l'chaveiro and how he and Hillel treated each other. Bein Adam l'chaveiro, which means between Jew and fellow Jew, even when we have differences. Tonight, I want to talk about a different aspect of Hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. And clearly, since Herod did not touch Hillel or Shammai, it must teach us something about our interaction between us and the umos ha'olam. So last week, we spoke about Hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos, Shammai's teaching, vis-a-vis our fellow Jew. Tonight I want to speak about this teaching as it applies to between us and the Ummas HaOlam amongst which we live. Why? because if Herod did not touch Shammai or Hillel, and in fact he respected them greatly and left them alone, it must be that there was very something special. There was something very special in their interaction and their behavior and approach to the Umos HaOlam. So I don't know if anybody read the cover story Mishpacha last week. What do they think? It was really interesting. At first I skipped over it, and then when I finished all Mishpacha, I said, okay, skimmed through some of it, read some of it, I said, I'm going to go back and read it. It was really interesting. So Mishpacha cover story, they interviewed five different prominent Jewish Askanim leaders. I don't mean Gedolei Hador, like people who work in politics or on behalf of the Jewish community from England, from Israel, from Montreal, Canada, from New York. And there was one theme that ran through what each of these prominent figures and leaders in the Jewish communities around the world all touched upon. So first I'm quoting from the interview with Assemblyman Simcha Eichenstein. Is that how I pronounce his last name? Eichenstein? Yeah. Simcha Eichenstein was elected to the New York State Assembly in 2019 after serving as the legislative liaison for Mayor Bill de Blasio. Okay, it gives a little bio of him. Okay. He has worked to present a positive image of the community in Albany. And all of the individuals interviewed, really, there was a common theme. So I'm just going to read the excerpt that I marked from each one, because I think, really, Shammai is teaching us something else. Not only is he teaching us to respect the fellow Jew if they eat gebrachs and you don't, and they eat kidneys and you don't, and they wear shtreimel and you wear kippah sruga, no. I think perhaps Shammai is also teaching us how we must interact with the Umos Olam, because it doesn't say, Hevi mekabla is kol ha-yehudim besever panim yafos, which Shammai could say. Shammai lived, these teachings were written and given over by Mesorah in the time in which they lived, the Tanaim. So Shammai lived in such a turbulent time when Rome was wreaking havoc in the land, when Herod was on a campaign of persecution. And Shammai says, I'm going to tell you what I learned from my life. Not only is it important to get along with the Hillels amongst us, the fellow Jews, but it's important to get along with, to respect, to know how to interact, how to behave in front of the Umos HaOlam as well. How telling that Herod, thousands of people he was killing in the land, he hated the sages. Hillel and Shammai he didn't touch. So they asked Simcha Eichenstein, is it Eichenstein? Am I saying the name right? Yes. How can the average frum Jew be a good ambassador for the community? There is a running theme in each of the responses. Make a Kiddush Hashem wherever you are. If you walk around with a yarmulke on your head, and the same could be said for us, the way we dress as a recognizably Orthodox woman, remember you carry with you the appearance of a frum Jew. When I first ran for office, I visited a prominent Rebbe in the community. He said to me, Simcha, remember one thing. Before any vote you can take, before any speech you give, before any room you walk into, your number one responsibility, and we're talking about interaction with the Umos HaOlam, not with fellow Jew, your number one responsibility is to make a Kiddush Hashem. You're going to be in Albany, and they're all going to look at you, fairly or unfairly, rightly or wrongly. They will look at you and paint a picture in their mind of the entire community. So it's entirely your responsibility. I did not take that lightly. I tried to remember that every single day. But then he tells us, Simcha Eichenstein says, Assemblyman Simcha Eichenstein, the same is true with every from Jew, whether it is your business partner or you're sitting on an airplane. The way we conduct ourselves, the way we speak, Amar Ma'at Vaseh Harbe, the respect we show, that is what makes a Kiddush Hashem. People have to think about this a little bit. I'm not Chas V'Shalom giving anyone Musar. We're having an open conversation. We're discussing it together. For example, sometimes you're driving on the road and you cut someone off. Well, maybe that person is a prison guard on his way to work and he sees you. You're a frum Jew and you cut him off. You won the fight. You're the car ahead. But you know what? When he arrives at work, maybe some Jew in prison will feel the brunt of your victory. It goes back to one of the first things I said in tonight's shir. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, La'olam yoter tov. You could look it up in the Orchos Yashar. La'olam yoter Malki, you gave it to me. La'olam yoter tov levater milinatzeach. It is always better to give in than to win, because ultimately the real winner is the one who gave in. And again, we're talking about interaction tonight, not with our fellow Jew, which we focused on last week. We're talking about, and everyone's an ambassador. Rabbi Assemblyman Simcha Eichenstein says, it's not only me. You go out, you're identifiably a Jew. They're going to paint the whole community based on your behavior. This interviewer, person they interviewed was Yitzhak Nachshoni. He is currently editor-in-chief of the Haredi Merkaz Ha'inyanim newspaper. He started his career at Galei Tzahal radio station. Galei Tzahal, when I was in ninth grade, my family lived in Yerushalayim for the year. I went to Tzfiyah, Al Shem Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook. I did not want to come back. I could not stop crying when the year was over. Since then, Libi B'Mizrach, V'Anochi B'Sof Ma'arav. And it was the year of the Gulf War. I was in ninth grade. It was 1990-1991. And we listened to Kol Yisrael, the Galei Tzahal, a lot. The broadcast during the war. Anyway, he started his career at the Galei Tzahal radio station during his eight-year service in the IDF. Then he founded Yom HaShishi, the independent commercial newspaper for the Haredi sector. He was its editor for 18 years, so clearly a very accomplished person in Israel society. Yitzhak Nachshoni. If you could get the magazine, it was really interesting. So the last question they asked him, how can the average from Jew be a good ambassador? Every Jew who is Shomer Torah u'mitzvot is a potential ambassador through his very presence. You don't need any special characteristics. You don't need any rhetorical skills. The question is, where and here, this is interesting, right? For us living in Chutz Arts, we're living amongst Umas HaOlam. He specifically is talking about Haredi Jews living amongst the Chiloni population in Medina Yisrael. Where can the average Chiloni encounter such an ambassador? By definition, an ambassador resides outside his own country. So what does that mean? I believe a secular person who sees a frum father and son walking to shul together cannot fail to be impressed. He talks interestingly about the Haredim living amongst the Chilonim to make a good impression so that they won't get the negative information from the news. Let them see what our lives are really like. Be an ambassador, in other words, outside of your community. For us, in Chutz Arts, that is a strong message as well. I think that if we live and act with the awareness that we are ambassadors, a lot of the problematic images in the press can be avoided. As I said, I believe living in a mixed neighborhood, he's talking about Haredim and Chilonim, is one of the most potent ways to build bridges between sectors. And I know tonight I'm focusing on our interaction, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, with the Umos HaOlam, based on the fact that Herod did not touch Hillel and Shammai. However, for him, living in the environment of Medina Yisrael, this plays out between Haredi and Chiloni. But we can still derive a lesson as to how we have to behave amongst Umos HaOlam. We have to see ourselves as an ambassador. I walked to Shul on Shabbat wearing what says Shabbos and Shul and Talis. Okay, not because there's no Eruv, but I think it's important to impart a Jewish presence in the street. There's a price to living not only amongst fellow Haredim, but I believe Kiddush Hashem makes it worthwhile. We could say there's a price to living amongst non-Jews. But if we make a Kiddush Hashem in our behavior, Hevi Mekablis Kol HaAdam B'Sever Panim Yafus, it doesn't say Kol HaYehudim. It doesn't say Hevi Mekablis Kol HaHaredim B'Sever Panim Yafus. It doesn't say Hevi Mekablis Kol HaGadol Yisrael B'Sever Panim Yafus. It says Hevi Mekablis Kol HaAdam. Who is Adam? Adam was the father of mankind. Adam wasn't Jewish. And all the children from Adam are not all Jewish. And yes, Shammai says it's these very people that you need to be Makabal, B'Sever Panim Yafos. Satmar businessman Menachem Max Lieberman. He is an unofficial volunteer point man for Montreal's Jewish community for several years. How can each and every Orthodox Jew, they asked Max Lieberman, be a good ambassador? And he says, I'm skipping. Anyone who lives in Montreal, okay, we live, he says, in a mixed neighborhood, Outremont, mix of Hasidic families and upscale French Canadians. We try to expose them to the beauty of our lifestyle. Some have come to appreciate the family dynamic, the happiness, the loyalty, the devotion we have to others. They may never understand how an Erev works, but they will understand a good morning and a pleasant smile. It's not that hard to explain the concept of shlachmanas and send a few ragalach and grape juice. And it goes a long way. You don't think it's unbelievable that Herod was going through the land, building up the country as a testimony to who he was and killing thousands of people along the way? But Shammai, who teaches you how to live, who lived under Herod, and Shammai says, you know what, I know? Hey, Amar Ma'at, don't speak so much. Aseher beidu a lot. And even if you're exacting like Shammai, the letter of the law is Hevi Makabas called them B'Sever Panim Yafos. Anyone who lives in Montreal knows that Rav Yochanan Wasner, the Skver Dayan, is a tremendous Talmud Chacham and Posek, and a tzaddik who lives an elevated life. When he walks on the street, his mind is elsewhere. One time, one spring day, I was walking behind him, and a non-Jewish neighbor was working on his front lawn, on the gardening. The Dayan stopped to admire the flowers, and he complimented the gentleman on their appearance. This is not just Maisa, this is not just stories, this is Torah. Torah, v'tzarich ani lilmod. Because the Torah dictates all of our interaction, not only with fellow Jew. But how should we interact with our non-Jews as we go through Galus? The Dayan stopped to admire the flowers and complimented the gentleman on their appearance. The man was standing there smiling long after the square Dayan had walked on. I don't know who the neighbor was. I don't know if he lives here, but there's a fair chance he's a writer, a celebrity, a politician, or an influencer of some sort. Even if he's not, he's a person. That's exactly the teaching of Shammai. Hevi makabla es kol ha'adam. All the descendants of Adam HaRishon. I'm not talking about Amalek. I'm talking about the Bein Adam Mechaveru that we must exhibit. I shouldn't even call it Bein Adam Mechaveru, really. That's in the realm of our interaction with our fellow Jews. But all of the interaction that we have with the Umos Ha'olam, we are ambassadors. And finally, Yoel Friedman, the Director of Public Affairs at Interlink Foundation that supports Haredi organizations across the UK, United Kingdom. And he's a leading advocate for Haredi matters. Where did I want to start from? Okay. We have a fundamental challenge. Last one. We are blessed to live in a Malchus Shel Chesed, where we can freely practice Yiddishkeit. However, over recent decades, a gulf has grown between our way of life and what society considers normal. Societal norms have changed so much, they're barely recognizable from what they were 50 years ago. We cling to our eternal Torah, yet society has pivoted to a very different place. In the last years of his life, my mentor, Rav Avram Pinter Zatzal, became increasingly despondent. He wondered, how could we defend our beautiful way of life, stable families, marriages, homes, if that's no longer a virtue by wider society? But aside from that, he said, there's another problem. Every single one of these individuals who are leaders around the world of Jewish communities has the exact same theme. And it struck me as very profound. It's a simple reality of life that every person who is identifiable as a Jew is an ambassador. Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal says, the moment you put on a black hat or substitute it for any garb that identifies you as a Jew, whether you like it or not, says Rav Avigdor Miller, that moment you become, whether you like it or not, an ambassador for the Jews. The only people who have a prerogative to behave as they wish are the majority or the host population. The minute you're a minority, which is us, amongst the host population, everything you do creates an impression of the population to whom you belong. So if we act out, and we are not makabas, called the Masever Panamiafos, they don't only say she wasn't a nice person. What do they say? And we all know, look how those Jews behave. It's just how the human mind works. A single person with a single incident paints a portrait of all Jews. The running theme here was, it's our responsibility. And he ends by saying, we have to be aware everything we do reflects on the whole of Klal Yisrael. Be a mensch. Treat others like you want to be treated. And remember, you are exactly that, an ambassador. That was fascinating that each one of those interviewed gave forth the same idea. In our interaction with others, we must make a Kiddush Hashem because we represent a population. And if they perceive our behavior as positive, our personal behavior, then they will have a positive impression of the whole. How fascinating that Herod did not kill or did not bother Hillel and Shammai, who knew how to be respectful in their behavior, not only between fellow Jews. Sometimes you hear people degrading non-Jews. I'm not talking about Amalek, okay? You will hear people still today using derogatory terms to describe Gentiles. I will not give any examples. Negative terms, no matter what we think of their behavior and their morals, we live amongst them. We are the minority. And the way we behave towards them affects not only ourselves, but all Jews. To tie up these two classes, last week we spoke about interaction between Adam and Chaver based on Hillel and Shammai's relationship, and tonight based on Hillel's life and the fact that Herod did not attack Hillel or Shammai. We're learning how true Shammai's teaching is. Heivim makabas kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafus. The understanding is it doesn't say heivim makabas kol ha'gadole olam, as kol gadole Yisrael, as kol ha'rabbanim, as kol Rosh Yeshiva, as kol ha'yehudim, kol ha'adam. Who is Adam? Of course he wasn't Jewish. He was the first man. That's how you have to treat every other person. So to put these two classes together, bein Adam and Chaveiro, interaction between Hillel and Shammai, i.e. between Jew and Jew, interaction between Shammai and Herod, i.e. representative of our interaction amongst the Umas to Olam, I will quote from, if you've been following my shiurim these past few weeks, don't laugh, Rav Yaakov Bender on Chumash, an insight I have not quoted yet from. It is on Parshas Kisavo. There's a mitzvah, and I told you, I'm reading it like a sefer, not going according to the parasha. I'm almost finished. Parshas Kisavo. We have a mitzvah v'halachta b'drachav. So the Gemara very famously quotes this pasuk in Sota Yud Dalet Aleph, and the Gemara tells us that we have a mitzvah to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam, Leilech Achar Midosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'al Hu Malbish Arumim Af Ata Ma'al Hu Bikur Cholim. Different shir for a different time. Okay. Rabbi Bender says, what is this mitzvah to emulate God? In our kihilos across the world, there are invisible strings that the wider world does not see. They cannot see. This is the network of chesed that runs through our communities. The Gemara says in Sota Yodalet Aleph that the Torah is tchila says chesed, v'sofa gemilas chesed. And it brings an example of Hashem first doing chesed in the Torah, clothing Adam and Isha, doing chesed at the end of the Torah, bearing Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara says, just like Hashem does chesed and gives four examples, we have to do chesed as well. That's a basic what we have to know for this year tonight. These form the network of chesed that runs through our communities. We ensure no one is hungry. People have clothing to wear. That their dignity is protected. V'halachta bidrachav. We are a people who mirror the greatness of the king. Ribbono Shel Olam. Someone once joked about the fact that the Bikur Chol room in every major hospital has the same combination number, 613. But beyond that quip, there is some depth to the comment. All 613 mitzvahs are really a means of connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And our Bikur Cholim habits reflect God's glory. There's a story told about how a certain individual was attending to his Rebbe, Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, during the Rosh Hashiva's final illness. As he was leaving the hospital, a woman stopped him and said, "Who is this patient, Aaron Kotler?" The Talmud explained he was the rabbi, he was the dean of a school, he's the leader of world Jewry. "Why are you asking?" She said she was the hospital switchboard operator. At that very moment, she continued, "Eleanor Roosevelt, the most respected former first lady, was also a patient in the hospital. Yet the calls about Mr. Kotler outnumber those regarding any other patient by 10 times," she said. "So I wanted to know who he was." And Rabbi Bender says, this is not only a story when it comes to Gedolei Yisrael. I will tell you about Mrs. Gordon, our devoted secretary, a woman who runs Yeshiva Darche Torah. A few years ago, she was hospitalized, and I, Rabbi Bender, went to visit her. A nurse approached me and said, "Who is this woman? We never got so many calls about a patient, asking how she's feeling, to be connected to her room, visitors requesting visitation times. Our Talmidim felt connected to her. They reflected Kosh Baruch Hu's giving." So this is last week's shir. From the Gadol Hador to the simple folk, we must strive to connect like Hillel and Shammai connected bein Adam and Chaveiro. However, Rabbi Bender then says, and this relates to tonight's shir, how we relate to the Umos HaOlam. Not only for Rav Aaron Kotler, and not only for Mrs. Gordon, the science teacher in the Philadelphia yeshiva, Mr. D'Angelo, was hospitalized. The Talmidim called him, and the Rosh HaYeshiva, Rav Elia Svei, and Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, went to visit him to ensure he was receiving proper care. He recuperated and returned to yeshiva. From that point on, he donated most of his salary back to the yeshiva. He said, like many yeshiva teachers, he was in the morning in public school and in the afternoon in yeshiva. While hospitalized, he had not received a single phone call from any staff or students at the public school, while the yeshiva boys and the rabbis made him feel like they care. And then he talks about, does anyone know Everett from Darche? We just saw him the other week. We had a meeting there. "Mr. Everett Fortune is a longtime Darche employee. He is not well. We have arranged for his treatment. His doctors, the yeshiva alumnus, his visitors compromise many of the yeshiva staff and talmidim. We care, and he knows that we care. This is what it means to emulate the Creator, the halachta bidrachav, to walk in his ways. Hashem created a world with people, says Rabbi Bender, and he expects us to notice those around us. That means all of those around us, and ensure their needs are being met, not just their physical needs, like clothing or food, but their emotional ones, like company and care. How much does it cost to smile? How much does it cost to say thank you? How much does it cost to make a positive impression so that Herod, through your behavior, does not persecute you or your colleague because you live by the truism of Heve Mekalbal es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. May the neshama of, quote, Renee's Mavilna, Renee Singer, who was, quote, a big tzadekes, and do not say anything about her because she was a very modest woman. Chaya Rivka, Bas Yaakov, Aliman, Chalal Shah, Merit, and Aliyah Nesham, the Schus of the Torah we shared. And may Esti and Aryeh Klein continue to have much nachas from their son Eli as he continues to grow in the way of Hevi Makabal. It's called Adam B'Sever Panam Yafos. I wish you a geshmak, elevated, meaningful, uplifting, Chag Kasher V'Samech. Please keep in mind, whether you're with us in person or listening online, this shiur runs on sponsors. It's not through a shul or an organization. If you would like to keep the shiur running, please reach out to me or Miriam Goodman, and we'd be happy to arrange that with you. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, all. There's 11 comments, so I'm just going to stop.